Turn to Philippians chapter 3. This is going to be a different kind of a calling in the lost night. I want to share with you some things that happened last week. I want you to not be afraid to follow the Lord to little bitty towns. Just got back from a trip to Othello. Glory to God. Population 7,121. Salute. It's in the desert in between two mountain ranges. The Rocky Mountains are on the east side. The High Cascades are on the west side. And so it gets very little rain there. The mountains squeeze all the moisture out of the clouds as they come from west to east. But they've harnessed the power of the Columbia River. There's a dam upriver from where they are, and they've irrigated all these fields. What's amazing, I mean, for centuries, it was nothing but sagebrush there. But where you, as you come in from the airport, you see all these circles and squares as you're coming into land. And everywhere that they irrigate and fertilize, the crops just grow like crazy. I mean, it is some of the most fertile ground anywhere in the USA. But what's amazing, right at the end of the circle, just a perfect circle, where the water doesn't go, sagebrush. Same ground. It's just amazing, you know. Yes, sir. We've done a lot of lessons here comparing the two Lord's prayers. It's the same Lord's prayer, but how Jesus taught on it twice. I am going to get to Philippians. The first one is in Matthew chapter 6, and where he teaches them to pray what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. And there, when he says, give us day by day, or give us this day our daily bread, as he continues to teach through that chapter, he's definitely talking about you coming to the place where you can trust the Lord yourself for your provision. And he talks about things. Why do you worry? Think about the lily. Think about the birds, you know. Your Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they? Why do you worry about these things? You know, the end result, the bottom line, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, get over yourself. Trust your Father. That preach is so easy. I'm looking. It's a little harder to live out when every source, every natural source is taken away. Or you follow his instructions, and by that they're taken away. And you'll find out. You'll find out. Do you believe God? Do you really trust him? Do you not? And, you know, you almost have to go through that, come to a place where you can trust him for your bread before you graduate to Luke. He teaches almost identically the same prayer. It's just word for word. Our Father which art in heaven, you know it very well. But there, when he says, give us day by day our daily bread, he's not talking about your bread. Because he teaches and illustrates in that passage, for a friend of mine has come, and I have nothing to give him. So you're going and asking bread, not for yourself, but for someone who doesn't have bread. And you're going, you've graduated from Matthew 6, my bread. Luke, give me bread for others. This has everything to do with your calling, what it is he's called you to do in the body of Christ. As a teacher, when I go, I need bread in the form of teaching. And when I pray for people, I need bread in the form of anointing, so that when I pray, things happen, you know. The first one has much to do with your faith. It's more than that. Well, it's faith, but it's trusting him that he really will take care of you. But the second one has more to do with trusting him that when you ask. See, the way that teaching ends, he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Well, why answer it? I mean, why teach it that way? Well, because the Holy Spirit is the bread manifester. He's the miracle. He's the molecule changer. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, Another place he said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of my Father. Same thing. You're dismissed. That was, just meditate on all that. Isn't that good? I'm glad I'm in a place where I can teach just there. Just start right there and not have to lay a lot of foundation work. Well, when you go minister, you have to trust him. I'm telling you, if you've not graduated from Matthew 6, or you're not yet trust him to meet your needs, then it's hard to accept invitations to cities where the whole population of the town is 7,000 people. Because in the natural, you're thinking, you know the airlines? Even though I told them plainly I was going to preach the gospel, did you know they didn't offer me my tickets for free? It's the most amazing thing. They wanted 500 and some odd, I think 550. Then when I got there, they wanted $25 for my bag. In your natural mind, see, if you're still in Matthew 6 mode, I wasn't planning any of this, by the way. That's not it. If you're still in Matthew 6 mode, the mind starts going, oh boy, it's almost $600. Little bitty town. Probably going to have four people. That's the way you think before you graduate from Matthew 6. Once you've been at it as long as I have, it doesn't matter at all. It does not matter. I've seen him. Even my own soul. I'm at the point now where things will happen financially. And I'm seriously, I go, well, this is worse. And I used to worry about it when it wasn't this bad. Shouldn't I be worried? Soul, come on. I'm almost talking like the reverse. Come on, soul, worry a little bit. And even my own soul has been so trained, it answers back, nah, we can trust him. After you've seen him deliver you about 10,000 times, even your own soul starts, oh, go back to sleep, we're good. Well, that's a far cry from the early days, I'll tell you for sure. Just so you'll know, I don't want to forget this part. On the very first day I was there, and that doesn't always happen this way, and it doesn't always happen in the meeting. Sometimes you don't come back with enough to even cover what your expenses, and he'll do it some other way. It doesn't matter. But on the very first day, the first full day that I was there, that full day wasn't even over yet, and I already had three times what it cost me to go there. And we had the rest of the week to go. So God took good care of us, you know. Go to Philippians 3. Did I say that? Here's the verse. Starting in verse 13. Now, I'm sharing with like-minded people. We don't have any novices in the room. And if you are, glory to God, there's Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. But we're all growing is the point. And even Paul, as we've thanked God for the Apostle Paul. He wrote, half to two-thirds of the New Testament. But look what he says about himself in verse 13, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, stop for a moment. In context, he's talking about the transformation process. Being conformed to his death, that we could also be conformed to the likeness of his resurrection. He's talking about, as we behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, we are changed from glory to glory into that same image by the Spirit of the Lord. That whole transformation process, and that's the ultimate goal. Mortification, edification, transformation. He says, Paul even says about himself, I don't think I've arrived, I'm not high calling of God. I haven't totally arrived there. I don't know anybody who has. But he says, I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, and that just means mature. He just got through telling you he wasn't perfect. Let us therefore, as many as be mature, be thus minded. And if anything we be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it unto you. Now, especially verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So in other words, everybody's on a somewhere on the path. You may have been at this a while. I've been at it quite a while. You may have heard about this message last week, and you're just starting. Somebody may have put a Dave Roberson book in your hand, this morning. You're on the path somewhere, though. And what he's saying is, where we have attained, let's walk there. Let's don't backslide, and let's be honest with one another, and let's share, and let's let's walk by the same rule. Where we've attained, you know, that's where we are. Now, with that in mind, I want to share a few things with you. This morning, I love this morning's 8:30 message by Pastor Tim. Thank you. I just thought it was outstanding. I think he's teaching the material the Holy Ghost gave me better than I ever taught it, to be honest with you. You know, I call Tim wisdom with legs. But in the course of it, he talked about waiting on God. Waiting on God is the hardest thing. The mind, the man, wants to always be doing. And it's really hard to wait on God. I want to tell you one more. After you've waited on God. See, why are you waiting on God? Well, I haven't heard God. Well, that's your problem. Sit right here. We have something for you to do. What is it you want me to do? Epoxy your britches to the chair. Like Tim says, waiting on God is not praying in tongues. But I'll tell you, praying in tongues is involved in waiting on God. Praying in meditation of the word is not really waiting on God. But I will also tell you, it's a good thing to be doing while you're waiting on God. What you're waiting for is his instruction. You're waiting for your next assignment. You're waiting for what he says. Along that path, there's training for you. Now, I'm going to tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some things I learned this week. Walking where I am, okay? And I'm healed enough where God's able to show me some things where I've hurt people. You know, not intending to, but I did. Then I'm also found out some things where sometimes when you hear God and obey God, you know, sometimes you don't see the fruit of that. Maybe in your lifetime you won't. Did y'all ever notice that in the Old Testament, the prophet prophesied to the king, here's the sign, a virgin shall be with child. Y'all did notice that didn't happen in his lifetime? That's another lesson. But was it a correct prophecy? Most people wouldn't want to stone him for being a false prophet. Didn't happen in his lifetime, but it did happen. Now, I'm going to get to the good part now. This is to encourage you about obeying God. We're talking about waiting on God. Do you remember me talking about the days when God was teaching me? You know, like in a prayer line originally, learning to hear God, you're praying for people. It was always a voice in the beginning. That's pretty easy. I'd hear him say, then I would say. That was pretty easy. Do y'all remember me telling you about the transition from audio to video? I would begin to see pictures. And sometimes they were fine. Sometimes I understood what was going on. And the reason he does that, I asked him, because it's harder. It's harder with the pictures. You see that picture, you go, what in the world does that mean? I'm going to give you an example. What in the world does that mean? And this particular incident happened in 2008 here at one of the conferences. I was going through that transition time, learning how to obey him when it comes to ministering by these pictures. And this couple, now they told this week when I was up there, she told me the answer. She said, Gary, she said, do you remember 2008? Do you remember that word that you gave to me? Oh, I remembered it. Trust me. It was so strange and out there. I disobeyed God. Remember I told you, it's one thing to wait on God. It's another thing then to have the courage to obey him once you have waited on him. You hear what he says. Well, I'm coming down the line praying. You know, you all have seen us do it so many times. Don't know these people from Adam. I didn't know them at the time. Had no idea. I'm standing in front of the woman. Now, this is 2008 here. They had come to a conference. You know, I saw the vision. I want to tell you what it was. But it was so strange to me. I disobeyed the Lord. I didn't tell her. I just kept my mouth shut. I did a Gary prayer. Oh, God, thank you. Bless them. Hallelujah. And I didn't know. Oh, I've told you before how it says your father, the father of spirits, you know, he'll chasten and scourge you. Oh, I got chastened and scourged all night. I'm telling you, I couldn't. He was on the inside. He was like, are you going to obey me? How come you didn't tell her? You know, I'm just getting this scourging, you know. So I tracked them down the next day at conference. I found them, got them alone. I don't remember exactly where. I got them alone somewhere. And I said, I disobeyed God. I hope you'll forgive me. I disobeyed God yesterday. And I said, he did show me something when I stood in front of you. I said, I saw something. I said, would you permit, please forgive me, and would you allow me to go ahead and tell you what I saw? I said, I don't have any idea what it means. She said, well, okay, go ahead. I knew they lived in that part of the world, but that's all I knew. And I said, well, what I see, I said, it's strange now. I see your face, lady, I see you. And behind you, it's just behind you, I see what looks like an imperfect circle. It's kind of a circle. It's not perfectly, but it's kind of a circle. And all I can tell you is it's full of horse prints. Like horseshoes? There it is. That's it. And I'm hoping it has some great spiritual significance. She goes, thank you. You walk off going, yeah, didn't hear God. Missed it. That was probably the devil harassing me all night to tell her that, you know. Where we have walked, where we have attained, let us therefore walk, okay? Now, 2008, 5 years. Everyone say, turn to somebody, say, 5 years. 5 years later, last week, I'm up in Othello. They live in that area where the television station is. And they knew I was going to be there, so here she comes bounding up, you know. Do you remember that word you gave to me back in 2008? I said, the one with the horse prints? Yeah, you know that one with, I want to encourage you guys to obey the Lord. She said, do you want to hear how that turned out? I said, I would love to hear how that turned out. She said, well, it just happened this week. I said, 5 years. So we live in an apartment building, but where our ministry is kind of, we do a rodeo work with horses for young people. And we're trying to get them to come to the rodeo, and in the process of that, well, there'll be gospel messages, and it keeps them occupied, keeps them off the streets, you know, we're working with horses and young people. Well, this very week, the man that, he said, right behind our apartment, remember how I saw it? I saw her face, and I saw something behind her. She said, right behind our apartments, there's a man that owns a big horse corral, and he heard about our work. He says, are y'all still doing this? Tell me about your work, you know, what you're doing. So we told him, he said, I'm going to give you the use of my horse corral for free to do that work with the young people. So she stood at her apartment window, and you looked, behind the apartment is the horse corral, an imperfect circle full of horse prints. Just a minute, I got to go worship God. I will never disobey you again. I promise I will never. Till the next time I do. 5 years. You're going to, what was the purpose of that? When that opportunity come, he has forewarned her, told her 5 years ahead of time, the answer is yes. Yes. We think that's God, actually. Yes, we will do that. Yes, sir. I love that. 5 years later. You just don't know how the devil's beat me up over that one over the last 5 years. Whether it's the devil or my own thoughts, I'm telling you, you got to obey God. You got to learn. Let him teach you. Okay? Well, I'm just picking the best ones here. After you go to south, to that city, and do radio stations all day, then we come back, we eat lunch, came back to town. That evening, we drove to Yakima. Anyone ever hear of Yakima, Washington? It's about 75 miles to the west. You know you're going across the desert when you see a sign that says, last services for 67 miles. I mean, there's nothing. There's not a light pole. There's nothing for 67 miles, you know. There's not, no fuel, no water, no nothing. We're driving across the desert, and you're going to some big church, right, to minister. Now we're going to a home meeting where there was 7 adults and 10 children. But they fed us a wonderful meal. Bronco rider. There was a Bronco rider who only got filled with the Holy Ghost 8 days earlier. Tough as leather that's been out in the sunshine, this guy. I mean, he's tough. He's a world class. He's a professional Bronco rider. That's what he does for a living, this guy. Got filled 8 days ago and already given his witness. Now, I think this would have happened, whether I would have been there or not, but it didn't hurt that someone a little older. See, I'm a little older than all. I'm older than anybody where I go now, practically. Wasn't so much for. There was a guy who's going to be a surgeon in 4 months. He's finishing up 10 years of going to medical school. And if you ask him why, he says, because God told me to. But he's never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. I think that would have happened whether I was there or not. What I was really there for, I gave a little portion of testimony. And I haven't talked about this for years. I bet you if I was to go back through my tapes or teachings, I bet it's been 15 years since I've even mentioned this. But remember, all of those experiences and all those, Holy Ghost knows everything about you. You are a walking library also of events and teachings and things. Well, when he brings something up, it's not for you to ignore. So I didn't know why. I said, when I started talking about it, I said, well, my goodness, I don't think I've talked about this in 15 years. And I started sharing about when I first got born again, after Michael Muccio led me to the Lord, and way back in 1980, there was a guy at the real estate company where I was manager that I'd known him for years. We'd sold real estate together, and he was in my group, and I managed him. But it's amazing. Right after I got saved, I'd never heard a word about it before, but right after I got saved, all of a sudden, he wanted to be like my best friend, and he started bringing me he brought me a book about being a Jehovah's Witness. Right off the bat, you know. If the devil can't stop you from getting saved, then he tries to divert you off a few degrees, you know. And I said, I'll be honest with you, it caused me a little, I didn't know what to think, you know, for there for a little bit. I said, my wife has always walked in real good discernment. You know, I said, by the way, the gift of discernment is not the gift of suspicion. But Sue does. I mean, she walks in. So she flat discerned the situation. She said, the devil's sending counterfeits to get you off course. This was early on. And I just gave that little testimony. He said, I finally just had to tell him, look, I don't want to hear any of that again. I'm not just, you know, your input in my life is over. I don't want to hear about that anymore. Come to find out, the other family that was there, the one that owns the house, he had been filled with the Holy Ghost. But that whole area, I didn't know it, that whole area is heavily influenced by Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. Heavily populated there. And we're breaking bread and talking after the thing, and he said, I thought that was so interesting what you shared about the Jehovah's Witness. I said, that really wasn't me. I haven't talked about that in 15 years. I said, get a clue. Holy Ghost is telling you, quit listening to those people. They are not right. Now, he loves them. He hopes all of them will be in heaven. But what they're teaching you, they're just bringing confusion and doubt. He sent me here as a witness to you personally. Don't listen to that anymore. You know, isn't that something? That's what I was there for. Well, the next night you taught to the thousands. No, we did another home meeting. After driving the other direction, recording two TV shows and then coming back, then we went to Moses Lake. Good name for a city, Moses Lake. Great people. We drive again out in the country. Now, I will tell you one thing. Those people up here know how to cook. I took a picture of the meal. I mean, everything that they served me was grown on that property, including the beef. Okay? Roast beef. You ever get roast beef where you take your fork and you can't get a piece because it just falls apart? That kind of roast beef. Just a moment. Oh. Sweet corn already peeled off the cob and soaked in butter. Buttermilk bread. Mashed potatoes from potatoes grown there. Cream gravy. and 3 green beans. No, that's another story. That's another story. I'm sorry. Man, I had my plate all piled high. But the owner of the place, his name is Mike. If you ever saw somebody that looked like a mountain man, I mean, he's got a full beard that comes halfway down his chest and wild and woolly hair. You know, he looks like, you could cast him in a movie as a mountain man, you know. Him and his wife just love God. They're saved, you know, but neither one of them speak in other tongues. And so we're there and talking and everything. And the guy took a liking to me, you know. We're just talking. He asked me, he said, "How old are you?" I said, "Well, I'm 66. He said, "Well, so am I." And see, what he needed was someone more his age. In fact, exactly his age. And we talked about the things of the Holy Ghost. And I mean, and he's right. And he says, "Well, I don't know if we need that, you know." I mean, he's talking about speaking in tongues specifically. I mean, and they are full of love, you know. I mean, God's using them with the drug crowd up there. You know, if people are down and out, they know where to come get a free meal. You know, they do work with drug people and stuff like that. And I said, "Well, it finally, you know, I noticed on his property was, he's like one of those guys that you don't ever sell a vehicle. You just use it till it wears out and you leave it on the property till it rusts away. I mean, you know, I saw trucks and pickups and cars and everything back there." And I said, "Do you work on that stuff?" Because I'd already been told that the guy's a kind of a mechanic, you know. He said, "Oh, yeah." He says, I love to fix that equipment myself and get it running." I said, "Well, good. That's good." I said, "How would you like to do it without a wrench?" He just looked at me and went, he says, "I don't know if I could do it without a wrench." He said, "Well, you're trying to do the Lord's work without the helper." I said, "The Holy Ghost is the helper. It's not that he's not using you at all, but those tongues are a big help. You'll find out that the Lord's got more for you than what you're doing right now." And he said, "The same way you grab a tool to work on that engine, Jesus said the Holy Ghost is your helper. He'll help you do the work of the Lord if you learn how to let him." Well, he didn't receive. Boy, I got him. He comes so close to receive. So close. But, you know, I found out later on, another is talking with him, he says, "I kind of like that old fella from Oklahoma." "You'll get it. What do you think you'll get it?" "I bet he'll get it." See? You know? "Yes, sir. I'll tell one more." See, and people, I'm really being careful. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He's still working with all of these people. "Yes, sir. How I hurt somebody. I'm leaving out names on purpose. Another man that I met, he'll just tell you by his own testimony. Before he ever came to the prayer center, he'll tell you by his own testimony. He says, I was the most religious person you ever saw. He said, everything was religion. He said, nobody wanted to be around me. Wasn't very much love coming out of me, but boy, there was a lot of religion, you know. This is right and that's wrong and this is right. And it's all rules and regulations and this and that and this and that. Very judgmental, you know." And he said, people kept telling him about the prayer center and about Pastor Dave and about... So reluctantly, he finally comes. The very first service he happened to be at, yours truly was doing the ministry. He just loved it. Said, "Man, this might really be of God." The very next day, the person that he knew here brought him by my house, and this was in the days I was still smoking at the time. Brought him by my house to visit, and I'm just smoking away and talking with him, drinking coffee. And they got in the car. He goes, "This is not of God." "I'm getting back on the plane. I'm getting out of here. I'm not coming to one more meeting." And when they told me this, I tell you, my heart broke. Because I remember I was struggling all those years trying to get free. I did not know. I'm not kidding you when I say I bought the patches. I bought the gum. I wore the patches with the gum. One time I had trying to quit smoking, had a patch on each arm, chewing nicotine gum, and had to pull over for a smoke break. I did not know how to quit. We didn't flaunt it. You know, we didn't like sit out, you know, under the foyer out here or out under the canopy and smoke or anything, but I was addicted. And I hurt the guy. One of the first passages in the trucks that the Holy Spirit ever opened to me was Ezekiel 34. Don't turn there right now, but if you want to get God's heart for shepherds. It's Ezekiel 34. And he is really angry at the shepherds of Israel. He says, you're not feeding the sheep. You are feeding yourselves. And you're using the sheep to do it. Then in the latter part of the chapter, he moves from talking about the shepherds to the sheep. He says, I'm even going to judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. He says, you come and drink the water. Then you take your feet and muddy the water so none of the other sheep can drink after you. You push, you thrust with the shoulder and push. Being abusive in church, hurting the sheep is what he's talking about. And God, last thing I ever want to do is hurt the sheep, you know. Well, I hurt this guy. I did hurt him. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but a person that was attending here at the time who, as far as I know, never had the microphone in his mouth all the time. Never had the microphone up to his mouth all the time he was here. Spent 3 hours with that guy. 3 hours. Just to get him to come back to another service at the conference. Because I hurt him. Well, he did. And he kept coming. That guy today is spirit-filled, not religious. He is the one. I didn't tell you this, but the very first service I did up there was at a different church where we had a combination English and Spanish speaking congregation packed up. That one was a full meeting. That guy, the one I hurt, he was my interpreter at that meeting. God has so healed him. If you met him now, he's the most unreligious person you ever met. Loves Jesus. They travel all through California and Arizona and Texas in the wintertime because that's December and January is when the least active time for growing crops there, and that's when they can travel. And they do what's called revival in the desert. Led hundreds of people in the baptism of the Holy Ghost just this past trip. That same guy was my interpreter. Loves me, loves, totally forgiven me. See, I don't know if I could have taken it a few years ago that I hurt somebody like that. But where we have attained, let us therefore walk. Well, at the time, I had attained. I wasn't into pornography, and I wasn't into drinking, and I wasn't into a lot of things, but I was still smoking, and that's where I was walking. Well, now I'm walking higher than that. You know too much. We've come too far. Let's not backslide. Where we have attained, let us therefore walk. Let him train you in these gifts. I hope that encourages you about that word of knowledge. It does me. So that they would know 5 years later what to do. When they're offered that arena, don't have to go fast and pray. No, he told us 5 years ago, we know what to do. Is that good stuff or what? Amen? And if you hurt people along the way, well, welcome to the club. You know, just trust he's bigger than our failures and makes lemonade out of our lemons. Do you know that guy also, the same guy, the one I hurt, he is the one last year where I got... They have a big juvenile detention center there, right just outside the city. And he is the head of the parole board. And you talk about an important position to be in. Spirit-filled head of the parole board. You got to see, you know, these young people, you know, you think you can go by what they say or by what the Lord says? You got to have the witness from God. Because you, at the one time, on the one hand, you want to do what's right for that young person. On the other hand, you don't want to release them if they're still going to go out to the community and kill somebody. You got to have God's wisdom. Well, God has put him as the head of that parole board. And he's got spirit-filled parole board people. You just don't realize how the Lord, all of this whole thing is all intertwined. That's why we have to have a living Jesus and the access in a living way to his mind where you can find out your part and not make decisions based on money. Don't forget the graduation from Matthew 6. I had a great time. I think the Lord ministered to me as much or more than to the people this last week in a good way and a bad way. Because I don't know what I'm doing right now that might be hurting people. I hope I'm not doing anything. But I was hoping that then too. But I have to still trust him and do the... See, that's why this... Where we have attained. Just walk right there. Just don't go backwards. Let's keep pressing towards the mark. I did have a dream the other day. In this dream, it was my
Of course, I always look better in my dreams than I do in person. I looked younger and thinner, but it was me. And I was talking. What I was saying was exactly, and I was just saying it the most matter-of-fact way, everything I said was exactly who I am in Christ. It was my spirit man. In the dream, I was yelling, I'm sitting where you're sitting, I'm watching me standing here teaching. I wasn't really teaching, I was just declaring my testimony. I am this and I am that. I and my Father are one. I do nothing without my Father. As the voice comes to me, so I render a decision. I seek not my own will, but only. I'm just talking like that, and I'm sitting out there where you are, and I'm going, liar, liar, pants on fire. Now, what's he showing me? I'm still, and we're all, if he's showing me, I got a sneaking suspicion. He's showing all of us, we still are identifying with our soul and not identifying really with who we are in Christ. We're still, it's called unbelief. I would like to sugarcoat it. Unbelief. The cure is prayer and feasting. No, no. It's not a misprint. I thought surely they left out the E. No? Prayer and what?
Fasting.
Oh, prayer and fasting. But he was just showing me. It's one thing to teach it. It's another thing to live it. Another thing to believe it. I was saying things like, body, you don't ever, ever tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. Hallelujah.